Good morning to all of you once again. It's a great joy and privilege for me and my family to be part of this worship and to share the love and remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ even this morning at this place. I want to thank the elders for this opportunity you have given to me to share the word of God this morning to the saints here. And also, as we could able to come here to share the joy and the blessings what God has granted to Stanley, Jimmy, and Cassie yesterday. Most of you were there, part of the, and we could be part of that also, and God had made it possible in their life also. One thing when we come to the word ministry, it's very true that we are reminded with so many things. We have a scripture or the word of God, 2,000 years old, a little more than that. And we are preaching since then, or people were hearing from these scriptures, which were spoken to us since then. So is anything new in the scripture? It's something wondering for us to understand, to remind, and to think of what the Lord has intended or what the Lord wants us. Because when we say or when we think of the ministry or the word ministry, I always reminded of Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. He says, "Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you these things." Whenever we hear the word of God, it's a reminder for us. We have known the truth. We are walking the truth. We are living in this world, what God intended us to do. But quite often, maybe as often as we hear the word of God, or every Sunday morning we hear, or we have been reminded. And even Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel chapter 14, he said that when I send my comforter, he will remind you of these things. Many times when we hear the word of God, it's just a reminder to refresh us, to rekindle us, to make us to remember or resettle or reevaluate and make us to rejoice in the truth which God has given to us even this morning. So I want to share from a very familiar passage with you even this morning. I want to share with you that a life in Christ, one day at a time. We have in a world where so many things are going around us, we are very busy with our work, our businesses, and things around us. But how far we are with Christ. And God is giving us, and Jesus Christ is allowing us to live in this world one day at a time, to receive the grace and the mercy from Him every morning, and to spend the rest of the day, and to taste and see that the Lord is good in our life. Once a professor walked into his class and he asked this question. From Philly to New York, it is 90 miles. And from New York to Chicago, it is 790 miles. From Chicago to Atlanta, it is 720 miles. What is my age? There was a pin drop silence. Many were thinking, burning their heads. A boy from the back of his class, he stood up and said, "Professor, you're 44. And it amazed the professor how very accurately he told that my age is 44. And he said, "Very simple. I have a brother who is half nuts and he is 22. Many times we are being confused or convoluted with the things around us and with the things what we see or become so much stressful with what we cannot bear or understand. In the economy of God's wisdom, understanding, God has given us time that we could able to enjoy the blessings. In this world of pressure, in this world of stress, in this world of busyness, we could able to relate ourselves that is alive in Christ one day at a time. And isn't that the longing in your hearts and my heart? Isn't our heartbeat wants to be the heartbeat of Jesus? Isn't that our desire, that we may be able to walk with Jesus in day by day in our daily life? That doing the will of God and the purpose of His. And many times we struggle, we strive to do, forgetting what we are. So please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Shall we read a scripture passage from verses 1 to 11? Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, is a very familiar passage, and many messages you would have heard. As I said, thus, it may be a reminder for you and for me that could be able to establish our fellowship with Christ. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 on. Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and the nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." And they had brought their boats to the land, and they left everything and followed him. I want to bring out four principles from this passage. Break away from the multitude of life to the solitude of with Christ. Many times in our life, we are been busy with the things of what we are, what we engage in. Many times we pray asking God for His favor, His help, His guidance, His will and purpose in our life. And many times we try to get along with the flow that makes things in this way. And here we see that Jesus making a preaching or a message to the people or listening to the word of God in the boat. If you have been walking or wanted to be with Jesus in the way that you have to do certain things as Jesus requested in this passage. Well, nothing could be defying more than this, what Jesus wants us to be, that what he wants us to be. In Luke chapter 5, we see that there a multitude was surrounded by Jesus. And we see that soon we are going to see the destiny of Peter as an individual man in Peter's life. And we see how that the people surrounded Jesus could able to hear the word of God and the meaning of destiny that they could able to understand in that way. So Jesus is zooming out from the crowd, and he is going to zoom on one individual, that is Simon Peter. When we look into this passage here, where did Jesus in the previous chapter? When we read the last verses of chapter 4 of the same book, we read this way, "And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea," chapter 4, verse 44. Jesus Christ was preaching in the synagogue to the people who were willing to listen, who will come to the synagogue. People who want to worship, people who are learned, or the scribes, or the Pharisees, and the people like those. And Jesus was teaching to the people in synagogue. And all of a sudden, we see Jesus in the fifth chapter by the lakeside of Gennesaret in Galilee. We may think that, was it a chance or a purpose? Why Jesus, all the way from Judea, went to Galilee, was it a chance or a purpose? Why is it busy fishing zone where Jesus coming and taking the attention of the people of the multitude, was it a chance or a purpose? There were two boats which were on the seashore, and Jesus got into one of them, which was Simon Peter's. Was it a chance or a purpose? After preaching and ministering, Jesus walked away from there, and we see a people following Jesus. Was it a chance or a purpose? We try to understand that how things work in our life. One thing we have to be least assured that nothing in our life is by chance. There is a purpose of God in everything. Whatever it may be, good things may not be satisfactory to you. It may not be as pleasurable what you want it to be, but that there is a purpose in life. What God intended for a child of God in his life. So we see that after Jesus delivering the message from the boat, Jesus tried to go away from there because it was not a chance, it was a purpose. He came for one purpose to Galilee and to share the word of God, preach the word of God to the multitude. With one purpose, God finished and accomplished, and he went from there. So we see that God in the scripture, God of the history, God has a purpose in everything what we can understand. And the whole world want to listen to this word of God. And so we can able to see how Jesus is making it possible for his will and purpose to accomplish. And so we see how Peter was chosen by Jesus Christ in his life. And Jesus trying to tell, I want to invest in your life. I want to invade your life. I want to morally change your life in a way that you will be my witness. You will be my testimony in the place where I would be, I want you to be. So today is the day for Peter to understand and realize that how God makes things happen in his life. Even today, God is visiting places like corporate world, sports arena, business world, entertainment world, in all different aspects of this world, God is touching the life of people in a very special purpose. We can see that how people could not able to understand what happened in their life, what makes them to change the course of life all of a sudden. It's not chance, it is the purpose of God. You don't need to seek after the purpose of God. God will purpose in your life when you say, here I am. And how wonderfully that God made it possible for us to be a part of this, to fulfill and accomplish the purpose in our day-to-day life, what we are living in. So we can able to see that how Jesus Christ was there. He, from the multitude, he went to a solitude place. Many places we can able to see Jesus spend time alone in his life. In Psalm 42 verse 1, it says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul thirsts for the Lord. How true it is that God is making things happen in the life of people, that we could able to understand and know what is the purpose of God in my life and in his life, that could able to fulfill and accomplish his way and purpose. In Psalms 130 verse 6 say, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman of the morning, indeed more than the watchman for the morning. How true it is that Jesus Christ set an example that he could able to spend time in communion with the Lord. Why? Is there any need? Isn't he the Lord? Isn't the God the triune, the second person in the Trinity? What is there a necessity for him to commune and spend time with the God himself? Was it any need for him? Oh, how true it is that he became a human, that we could able to understand and know the purposes and the will of God in each and every one of life. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, we see how Jesus Christ was there, that we can able to see that. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went and departed to a lonely place and praying there. How much more important I'm not going into the details of what prayer and what it has to be. We all know, we all need to do that. Solitude in prayer, in communion with God, which is able to strengthen your life and my life. There are three things we can able to see as Jesus took this place. There is a specific time early in the morning. There is a specific place, lonely place, solitude, and the specific purpose that he may pray. Three things. He took very specifically. Quite often he did it. As much as time he could have. The disciples looking for him. Oh, Jesus, the crowd is there. The people are looking for you. The early morning, the crowd is seeking to hear you or to hear to receive the blessings or the healing from you. In today's world, if Jesus Christ was here, the disciples would have said, "Oh Lord, all the text messages coming. Where is Jesus Christ? The Facebook is full of the or the Instagram or the Twitter, all are ringing. Where Jesus is?" But we can able to see that how Jesus chosen the place where he could able to be. That he could able to spend time, chosen to the quiet time, to encounter the personal life, that he could able to continually, constantly have the fellowship with God, that his guidance, his purpose, will able to accomplish in his life. Once Mother Teresa was in a great banquet with the princes and the great leaders of the world, one of the reporters came and asked her, "Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you ask the Lord? What do you ask God?" And Mother Teresa replied, "Nothing." "Then what do you do when you pray?" And she said, "I listen." The reporter was very smart. You know, the people, reporters are very smart. They ask across questions. And the reporter asked, "If God is listening to you, when you actually pray, what he does?" And Mother Teresa said, "He listens." How true it is that God is always willing to listen to you, no matter where you are, however conditions, whatever your situation is, he's always ready to listen. If you listen, that he is always ready to listen to you. So we can see that how break away from the multitude to a solitude place. The second principle is this: break away from the past failure to a fresh obedience. The next aspect in Peter's life we can able to see in verse 4 of chapter 5 of Luke. "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your net for a catch.'" If I was there in the place of Peter, I would have had a great argument with Jesus. "Jesus, you are a carpenter. And I am a fisherman. You know how to make tables and the furnitures. And your stock market is going high in the markets. And your furnitures are being selling very greatly. But do you know anything about fishing?" And Peter would have made an argument with Jesus that, "I have a PhD in fishing. So I know what it is. I struggle the whole night. I know where to put the net, when to put the net. I know the voices of the fishes," right? Peter could have argued with Jesus. Here we see that how things in our life, we familiarize with things. We try to teach Jesus or God. We try to speak with God. "Lord, all these things are ready with me. All these things I have set ready. Unless your word, I need to bless it." Many times we need, as we need, lead a normal way of life. That as the moment of grace that is filling the life of Peter, the moment of crafting his life is beginning there, we can able to see how God knows the in and out of Peter. He is going to shape Peter in a very special way, that Simon is going to be a changed person. He is an universal shoe that to anyone to say that, "Lord, you know who am I? I know what I'm doing. I know what I am." So here we see that, how Peter is encountering with Jesus. And we see in verse 5 that Peter said that, "Master, we worked hard whole night, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets." "I will do it, Lord," at your bidding. Many times we also argue with God, Lord, I worked, I toiled in whatever area of our life maybe, and then maybe in the ministry, in the gospel work, in sharing the word of God, in testimony, in giving, or in learning the word of God, hearing the word of God, to be a witness, to be obedient. Lord, I know everything. I do everything. I do perfectly in all my purposes. We can be able to see how the definition of life coming in the way of correction, of conviction, or in the way of repentance, in the way of committing himself, that Peter could able to become obedient to what he wants to be. Lord, at your bidding, I want to. And here, Peter recognizing his failure. I worked whole night. What went wrong with me? Here, the creator of the universe, the creator of every living thing in this world, he knows what it is. And at the casting of the net, he asked all the fish to enter into Peter's net. What a wonderful God we have. Are we listening to the bidding of what God is saying in our life? Have we have the patience to wait upon the Lord, to listen to what he wants to want us to do? Are we willing to submit and surrender to be obedient to the will of God in our life? Thirdly, the third principle we see in Peter's life, break away from a blessing receiver to a blessing sharer. As the narrative goes down, we see Peter got a whole haul of catch of fish, and then we see that he calling other friends to come and help him. And we can able to see that how he could able to be part of it in that way. How he could be in such a way that he could be sharing his benefits. As he called James and John, the next boat, and they filled both the boats together. And then we can able to see that how they came to. And then Peter turned to John. John, we hit the jackpot. No worries. We sell all the fish. We eat whatever we can. We make pickles whatever we can. And that's it. Rest of our life we can be less assured with what money we get. This is what he said. Peter was very willing that he could able to be a part of in what God given unto him. He brought the other boat and filled it. And with a broken heart and a life that we could able to see that, how things change in the life of Peter. How true it is that in our life, when God did or do miracles, do wonders in our life, isn't our life something valuable and precious when God do something more precious? Is not what you expect great things and God does it, even in little things. In little prayer, what we pray in the morning, Lord, guard me on our going and coming. He brings you safely to your house. Isn't a miracle? Isn't a blessing? It is the goodness of God. Is it the graciousness of God? Isn't the protection of God? Is the provision of God? How God is blessing each one of us in our wisdom, in our understanding, in keeping us and providing and undertaking in all our purposes and will. Sometimes sufferings and sorrows can overwhelm us. There was a Christian believer in a prison in a non-Christian country. And then he was, for many years, because of preaching of the gospel, he was put in the prison. Another Christian believer came to visit him. And he came to come and share his sorrows with a believer in the prison. And he came through the bars. He said, Lord, oh my dear brother, how terrible and sorrowful it is to be for the suffering, what you're going through. And a quiet while, the brother or the Christian in the prison made it known to the Christian who came to visit him, told him, my dear brother, suffering is nothing in the sight of God. To a believer, suffering is nothing. Oh, it is the deliverance of God from what? From the sin that God has given to me. Suffering is nothing. The joy, the happiness that could able to bring in our life, that could able to move us into the very purpose and the way of God in our life. Fourthly, is not that we break away from the multitude to a solitude place. Is not a way that we understand our failure and to the fresh obedience. is not a way of breaking from the blessing receiver to be a blessing sharer. The fourthly, break away from a flashlight person to a candlelight person. Jack was very critical about everything, whatever he sees, whatever he encounters. One day, Jack and his wife went to an art exhibition. And as he entered, he saw a beautiful picture. And he started to be very critical to the hearing of everybody that surrounded him. Oh, what an ugly, dirty, or a horrible picture, artwork is this. And he was very critical in so many ways and loud, and he continued on and on. And his wife standing nearby nudged at Jack and said, Jack, shut up, keep quiet. You forgot to wear your glasses, you're seeing the mirror. Many times we are critical. What we see, others, what others are. We are very quick. We're very easy to be. I want to bring this point to you. How be break away from a flashlight person to a candlelight person. You consider that you are in a very dark room. And if I flash a light in your eyes and ask you, what color is the flashlight? You are not able to say, unless I be an owl, to understand or to see, grasp what color is it. Many times the light, which has multitude of multiple batteries, can able to bring forth the focus of light in our eyes, can blind us to see what kind of a flashlight it is, whether it's a metallic or a plastic, or what kind of a light it is. Many times we are like a flashlight. Easy and very quick to focus our attention or pinpoint the failures of others. But we have to be a candlelight person. There's a great difference. Maybe the flashlight will be brighter, stronger in its force, in its power, in its light, in its illumination. But God intended to be a candlelight person. What is that? The candlelight person is a candle stays in one place. It not only illuminates the surrounding, it illuminates itself. It gives itself out, and it gives out itself, and is becoming nothing and nothing, and you know what color the candle is, how it is. And my life is the same way as Lord intended or he wanted me to be. Can others see my life? Can others be able to identify? Am I focusing the flashlight on others and not realizing who am I and what am I? And you see, as Peter is saying in verse 8, and Peter, when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Recognizing, realizing, who am I? No one is perfect. No one is holy. No one is pure. We all people walking in this world with all kinds of defilement, failures, shortcomings, in all these things, but we could able to understand, realize, very true it is, when God does something in your life very personally, it could illuminate you very much who you are in your life. Not only when God does it all the time, we could able to illuminate the word of God in our life, that we could able to see who am I? Am I able to live? Am I able to show forth as God intended me to be? What he wants me to be, that I may able to present myself in the will of God, in the purpose of God, that I could be. A contrast we can able to see from the flashlight to a candlelight. How is my life? As David says in Psalms 51 verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Transgression implies crossing the line. Iniquity implies choosing my own path. And sin implies missing the mark. In which way God wants me to walk in this world, that I may be able to live a life which could able to resist from my sinful life and purify, give myself to the very purpose and the way of God in my life. As a servant of God said this, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make the dead alive. How true it is that Jesus Christ came to make the dead person alive. Are you or me are alive in Christ? Am I able to live a life which could able to please God in every way, in every purpose, breaking away from the multitude to be a solitude place, breaking away from my failures to the fresh obedience of God in all his understanding, breaking away from blessing getter to a blessing sharer, and breaking away from a flashlight person to a candlelight person. May God help each and every one of us as we live in this world with his wisdom, with his understanding, by his grace, that he may lead us, guide us to fulfill. It's not by chance you become a Christian. It is a purpose. I may fulfill the purpose of God in the days to come. May God bless us. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Oh, blessed Lord, we thank you. The very words of Jesus, which could able to refresh and remind, re-energize, and make us rejoice to evaluate us, who we are in this world. Father, before the word of God, before you, we could able to see who we are. No one can able to see our hearts, our thoughts, our intentions, our motives. But Lord, you are the God who knows in and out of us. Nothing is hidden in your sight. Nothing is smaller or greater before you. Everything is naked before you. Lord, with all this understanding, we come before you for the word you have given this morning. How you choose Peter for a very purpose that he could able to be used, who didn't knew that he going to preach on a Pentecostal day. How you choose him that he didn't know that he is going to write two epistles. But yet, Lord, you used him for the very purpose of your glory and majesty. So do. We ask you that as we submit before you, as we surrender before you, Lord, you will fulfill the purpose for which you called us for thy glory. May your word and your grace and your peace will be rest upon each and every one of us as we go out from this place. With thy word, with thy truth, lead us. Let your word shine in our hearts, in our life, to be a beacon to others. And Lord, may the testimony of this assembly and every believer here will be profitable and enjoyable to each and every one. We give the glory and honor to you. We ask all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you once again.